called as a country using the Civil War as a backdrop. Normally, I don't lecture about the United States when I'm talking about world history, only because you can take a United States history class. But because the Civil War is mentioned in Chapter 23, and this concept of how we as a country dealt with death during the Civil War, I think we can make a pretty good example of furthering our understanding of settler societies by listening to this prezi. All the information from this lecture comes directly from a book by Drew Gilpin Faust. The name of the book is This Republic of Suffering, Death and the American Civil War. Faust is the president of Harvard University, and I quote extensively and use a lot of the examples from her book. Last week when you read chapter 23, you read about settler societies, and we actually even talked about a settler society when we talked about the colonization of Australia and what that meant to the Aboriginal people. Today I want to talk about another settler society, but before I do that, I want to give you a definition just in case you missed it last week in the textbook. And I'm reading from your textbook, page 439. A settler society is a place that differs from the European world in several key respects. First, it doesn't have an established aristocracy or a peasant class. It will usually be dominated by an agricultural market. A settler society will have abundant land and opportunities on that abundant land to export to Europe. In typical settler societies, these places are not initially as wealthy as their European counterparts, but in many cases they would have high standards of living. Many of the settler societies escaped some of Europe's political tensions, but they had their own set of tensions. And with this lecture today, I want to look at America as a microcosm of a settler society. And what I really want to do is showcase how death, primarily death as a result of the American Civil War in 1861 to basically 1865, when all the hostilities are over, how death and the Civil War really shaped American society, and how we start seeing America transition into its own nation as a result of the American Civil War. So in the image you're looking at below, that's a battle scene, all casualties on the battle scene from the American Civil War. With this lecture, I really want to stay with my theme of discussing key characteristics of a civilization. I think by so doing, I reinforce these concepts rather than adding to confusion. So what I want to suggest is that we can use the concept of death, and we can think about it in terms of our five key characteristics. And by so doing, we can better understand how America evolved as its own separate civilization. It begins as a settler society, but I think understanding this concept of death and how the American people reacted to the death during the Civil War, we can see how the five key characteristics of a civilization come into play. So what I want you to think about as I go through this lecture is, what key characteristic of a civilization would death fall under? Is it part of advanced cities? Is it advanced technology? Is it a part of record keeping? Does it have to do with specialized workers? Or is it a part of the complex organizations that form one of the key characteristics of a civilization? So which umbrella key characteristic would you put it under? And that's what I want you to think about. Quoting from Faust's book, I want to suggest that the casualties that resulted from the American Civil War were astronomical. And it differed from other previous conflicts and conflicts that would come in the future as well. And as Faust says, mortality defines the human condition. We all have our dead, we all have our graves, she quotes a Confederate Episcopal bishop observing in 1862. However, in the middle of the 19th century, the United States embarked on a new relationship with death. The Civil War proved bloodier than any other conflict in American history. It would be worse than the slaughter of World War I and the global carnage of the 20th century. The number of soldiers who died between 1861 and 1865, an estimated 620,000, is approximately equal to the total American fatalities in the Revolution, the War of 1812, the Mexican War, the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, and the Korean War combined. The Civil War's rate of death, its incidence in comparison with the size of the American population, was six times that of World War II. A similar rate, about 2% in the United States today, would mean 6 million fatalities. Confederate men died at a rate three times that of their Yankee counterparts. One in five white men of military age did not survive the Civil War. It was staggering. So you might ask yourself, what happened to all the bodies? We learn from Faust's book that 23,000 men and untold numbers of horses and mules lay killed or wounded. A Union surgeon reported that a week after the battle, the dead were almost wholly unburied and the stench arising from it was such as to breed a pestilence. This is quite significant. Our fledgling country was not equipped to deal with dying on such a massive scale. Just think about how Europe approached the Great Death, the bubonic plague. It was an old country, an old continent, I should say. And the many countries of Europe that were affected by the Black Death didn't even know how to deal with all the death. Think of us as a new society. It was very, very traumatic. And that's where I really want you to be thinking. What key characteristic of a civilization is allowing the United States to begin to deal with this problem? Was it complex institutions? I said earlier, complex organizations, but I meant to say complex institutions. As I was saying on the last slide, before I got cut off, there's actually a time limit per slide. The five key characteristics we're trying to consider in where we would place the notion of death are, as I just said, complex institutions, but we also have advanced cities, advanced technology, specialized workers, and record keeping. So as we continue to go through this lecture, where would you place death? Under what key characteristic? According to Drew Gilpin Faust, in the Civil War, the United States, North and South, reaped what many participants described as a harvest of death. And in this image, you can see a battle scene from the Civil War, and you can see it strewn with bodies. By the midpoint of the conflict, it seemed that in the South, nearly every household mourned some loved one. Basically, loss became commonplace. Death was no longer encountered individually. It was collectively processed by the country as a whole. And by the war's end, our whole country had to figure out how we were going to react to this loss. And it really caused a lot of changes. And that's what we'll begin to explore in the next slide. People in the Civil War and people living at the time of the Civil War in America were particularly hard hit by the death toll because it basically affected very young people. Here's a quote by Drew Gilpin Faust. The blow seems heaviest when it strikes down those who are in the morning of life. Many young men, very, very young men, went off to fight, and their lives were definitely cut short. Not all of them just died from a particular battle wound, however, though. Basically, once wounded, a Civil War soldier died 8 times faster than his counterpart in World War I. And of the estimated 700,000 Civil War casualties, 2/3 were from disease or infection, rather than their actual battle death. And let me just give you an indication from the book on what it was like with all the illness. A wave of epidemic disease, measles, mumps, and smallpox, swept through the armies of volunteers in the early months of the war, then yielded precedence to the intractable camp illnesses, diarrhea and dysentery, typhoid and malaria. Nearly 3/4 of Union soldiers suffered from serious bowel complaints in every year of the war. By 1865, the sick rate for diarrhea and dysentery was 995 per thousand. 995 per thousand, that's astronomical. Contamination of water supply from camp latrines was one key cause of these illnesses, as was typhoid. Here's a description of a camp sink, according to one Union soldier in 1862. The camp sink is located between the tents and the river. It is covered with fresh earth twice a week. The men, however, generally make use of the ground in the vicinity. Disease was rampant and caused many deaths. This harvest of death transformed America in many ways. Not only were soldiers affected, civilians were also at severe risk with this particular conflict. In fact, many poets and writers put pen to paper to write about the tragedies they saw during the Civil War. And one poet, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, really wrote about the undoing of the barrier between home and battlefront with some of the poetry he wrote. So listen to a piece of a work that he did that talks about a bullet that killed a Yankee soldier in the South and then continued its trajectory of death. And here's a short piece of poetry. That fatal bullet went speeding forth till it reached a town in the distant north, till it reached a house in a sunny street, till it reached a heart that ceased to beat, without a murmur, without a cry, and the neighbors wondered that she should die. It's very amazing how many civilians were touched physically by the war and lost their own lives, but also mentally because of the loss of their loved ones and the additional responsibilities that they had to take on their shoulders when their loved ones died. And I think that piece of poetry by Longfellow really sums that up. All right, some startling statistics. A soldier was 5 times more likely to die if he enlisted in the Civil War than if he hadn't entered the war. Prior to the Civil War, most Americans did not travel more than 20 miles from their home. Even by the early 20th century, fewer than 15% of Americans died away from home. The Civil War changed all that. And that was what was very upsetting for family members. In the 19th century, people believed here in the United States of what was called a good death. Most people at that moment in time were of the Protestant faith here in the United States, and a good death was being able to see your loved ones when you died. That changed for these masses of individuals. And right here in Presque Isle, 22% of the Presque Isle population left to fight, and 1/3 of the men who left died. And you have to remember, at this moment in time, the United States had no effective or formal system of reporting casualties on either side, North or South, for that war. So it became customary for the slain soldier's closest companions at the time of his death to write a letter to his next of kin, not just offering sympathy and discussing the use of where his clothing should go and his back pay, but trying to provide information that the loved one would have wanted. So they basically wanted to know that their loved one had died and was cognizant of what was happening and felt fulfilled in their death. So this notion of a good death and this notion of dying not by your family, but alone in a strange place was really heart-wrenching. And this whole idea that our government didn't even know the names of all the people who died really started to change our system of record-keeping here in the United States. As the war continued and the dead mounted, burials in coffins became a luxury not afforded to the masses of fatalities, which again really flies in the face of that notion of a good death that so many family members wanted their loved ones to experience. As one volunteer wrote, he found it dreadful to see the poor soldier just thrown in a ditch and covered over without any box. Burials like this that were not uncommon appalled and dehumanized the dead and appalled the living. A Union chaplain observed that in pit burials, bodies were covered over much the same as farmers cover potatoes and roots to preserve them from the frost of winter. With this exception, however, the vegetables really get more tender care. That is very, very upsetting, and it's because of that, the dehumanization and the lack of a proper burial, that the National Cemetery Movement really becomes a prominent effort during the Civil War. As a result of the mounting war casualties, on July 17, 1862, Congress empowered President Abraham Lincoln to, quote, purchase cemetery grounds and cause them to be securely enclosed to be used as a national cemetery for the soldiers who shall die in the service of their country. Since 1862, more than 3.7 million burials have taken place in national cemeteries under the jurisdiction of the National Cemetery Administration. Currently, the 131 existing national cemeteries contain over 20,000 acres of land and remains of approximately 100,000 burials in the national cemeteries are unknown, even though there is a huge monetary effort in place to this day trying to track down the names of unknown soldiers. Now, the picture I've put before you is a picture of a Civil War monument. Here in Presque Isle, Here in Presque Isle, we are home to a Civil War memorial. It is in the Fairmount Cemetery, and it was the women of Presque Isle who worked so hard to make sure that the dead from Presque Isle were recognized. And they did work diligently to ensure that our dead were remembered. And there are 33 names on that monument in Fairmount Cemetery. In addition to the National Cemetery Movement, the government also put into place a veterans cemetery movement, and this happened in the mid-1970s. And Caribou is actually the home of a veterans cemetery here in the state of Maine. It's one of only four veterans cemeteries. So as you can see, here in Maine and up in northern Maine, the legacy of the Civil War is still quite strong. The legacies of the Civil War are many. We have lots of medical advances as a result of the Civil War. We have the beginning of the ambulance service, which I'll talk about on another set of slides. We have the beginning of the triage system. We actually have the development of the nursing profession. We have the beginnings of the hypodermic syringe. All of these medical breakthroughs come about because of the Civil War. In fact, according to Dr. Dale Smith, he's a medical historian and a senior vice president of the Uniformed Services University Health Sciences. He says, quote, "War generally acts as an accelerator for medicine. Many things that may already be in the pipeline are sped along by the urgency of caring for a great number of complex trauma cases." And literally, for every conflict the United States has been in, you can chart medical advances because of that particular conflict. But in addition to these medical advances, we also will have the beginnings of a pension system with the Civil War. Because so many veterans and so many dead soldiers' families were not provided for because the government at its infancy wasn't able to protect these individuals, that part of the fallout of that was the beginning of a pension system that to this day is still in place. But ironically enough, in just recent days, we've been hearing about various cuts to the military. And former Defense Secretary Robert Gates said, in regards to the benefits military people enjoy, he said this, quote, "These benefits are eating us from the inside." So we're now at a point in our society where those pensions and benefits that were started in the early, in the days following the Civil War, are now on the chopping block because of the expense. So remember, as historians, we study change over time or the lack of change over time. And it's pretty amazing that the changes that resulted because of the Civil War, but now where we're at as a society. Some other changes we noticed was also, as I said on my previous slide, the national cemetery system that we now have in place. And also the registries that we now have to keep track of the dead. Now, Clara Barton, someone we all know from the nursing profession, she did a lot of work on the front during the Civil War to keep track of the dead. And some of those early efforts that she made have created databases and registries to keep tracking the dead from various conflicts. In fact, $100 million a year is spent by the U.S. government today trying to account for the 88,000 soldiers still missing from various conflicts in the past. So that's really amazing. As I said on my earlier slide, I talked more about one of the legacies of the Civil War being the rise of the ambulance service. A man by the name of Henry Bowditch lost his son Nathaniel in March of 1863. His son died as a result of his injuries in the Civil War. And Henry was determined to make sure that his son did not die in vain. So he undertook some actions to relieve some of his own suffering and to make sure the honor and memory of his son lasted. And according to Faust in her book, she writes, "Bowditch's preoccupation with Nathaniel would serve as a lever at last to get, as he put it, out of myself and out of his grief in order once again to embrace his reformist commitments. Bowditch made Nathaniel's death and the long abandonment on the battlefield without medical care that preceded it one of his efforts to change the situation. And he worked to help establish the ambulance service in the Union Army. And this goal was achieved in the last year of the war." So basically what happened is that Bowditch was able to transform the suffering that he felt on account of his son's death and turn it into something that would help other people. And that ambulance service that was established in the Civil War has now resulted in a legacy that Henry Bowditch could not have foreseen. Right here at NMCC, we have a EMS program, which is training people to work on those ambulances to better serve the community. So think about that as an outgrowth of the Civil War. And here I'm just providing an image of an early prototype of an ambulance. And again, remember, we're trying to figure out where we might put death in the key characteristics of a civilization. Does it belong under advanced technology? Does it belong under specialized workers? Maybe record keeping, advanced cities, or complex institutions? So I just want to close with this slide, and I just want to throw my overall prompt out there once again. With this lecture, we've been looking at an example of a settler society as described in Chapter 23 of your textbook, and we're using the United States as an example. We're looking at a particular conflict in the United States, the American Civil War, and we're looking at one result of that war, death. And we're trying to determine, can death be seen as one particular key characteristic of a civilization, or is it seen as all the key characteristics of a civilization? Advanced cities, complex institutions, record keeping, specialized workers, and advanced technology. Do you think death fits into each one of those items? Just think about that as you watch the American Experience film. And then I just want to conclude with this quote. Mortality defines the human condition. We all have our dead. We all have our graves, a Confederate Episcopal bishop observed in an 1862 sermon. Every era, he explained, must confront like miseries. Every age must search for like consolations. Yet death has its discontinuities as well. Men and women approach death in ways shaped by history, by culture, by conditions that vary over time and across space. Even though we all have our dead, and even though we all die, we do so differently from generation to generation and from place to place. And I like that quote that Drew Gilpin Faust puts in her book, because it really epitomizes what the American people and the country as a whole experienced during the Civil War. As a country, we were still trying to figure out what our nation owed its citizenry and what the citizenry owed its country. And I think you see those tensions playing themselves out during the Civil War, especially in terms of our medical advances, the way we began to acknowledge the burial of our dead, our registries to keep track of our soldiers, and the pension system that will develop as a result of the Civil War. Okay, I hope you enjoy the American Experience video, and hopefully it'll shed some more light on this situation.